I'm going to do this at least three part series starting today on resilience. You might have saw on the front part of your bulletins and then even the pastor's corner there, the story about the palm tree. I'm going to speak this morning here in the first message about setting our hearts, setting ourselves on God's will. I really believe again that we're always going to be in a time until Jesus Christ comes back where we got to realize there really is also a real enemy around us. There's a real spirit of God that lives in us. And the Bible says the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. And those things are always true. And God really has conquered death and hell and the grave. But there's also still what we call, the Bible calls, an adversary living among us. There still really is a real devil. There really are real demons. And I believe the Bible's clear where it says that one third of all the angels under the authority of Satan or put under his command up in heaven fell with him. They're now called demonic spirits that are here today to be accusers of the brethren and try to bring vexing things into your lives. Now, the truth is, again, that everything around us the devil can do has already been paid for by the blood and by the power of Jesus Christ. But there also is a will. We're going to talk this morning here about the three wills found in the Bible that exist on the earth as well that we play a part in ourselves. We're going to hear some things about this also today in today's message. So please try and find something to write some things down. Write some notes in your bulletins as well, because there'll be some things you can look up beyond this. But on this picture on your bulletin this morning about the palm tree, I found the palm tree, and as far as horticulture goes or arbalists go, people involved in trees, they say the palm tree is the most resilient tree on the face of the earth. God made the palm tree in advance, knowing there would one day be hurricanes on the earth. And sometimes even 200-mile-per-hour winds will hit islands where palm trees are at. But because a palm tree learns how to take and bend and give in to the winds around it, they do not snap, they do not break, they bounce right back to their original form once the storm passes by. But also the thing about the palm tree, also very, very interesting, is the coconut seeds on palm trees that get shaken loose by the winds or by nature or by age, these things many times find themselves in the oceans catching currents and sometimes being replanted thousands of miles away. And what God is saying to you and I think in nature is with the palm tree is, though we go through storms of life, we still have far-reaching impact upon the nations of the earth for those who take and weather the storms of life and become resilient in Jesus' name. In these last days, we're seeing around us evil increasing. We're seeing darkness increasing as far as darkness goes. But at the same time, I believe we're also seeing light increase. We're seeing the anointing increase. We're seeing God's word increase. You got to realize there's still millions coming to Christ somewhere in the world every single day. The harvest is still being reaped. You'd be amazed to know about revival breaking out in Argentina, breaking out in parts of Asia. Many Muslims are coming to Christ right now by the thousands in Arab nations, Middle Eastern countries. Why is this taking place? It's because of the prayer of God's people that still goes forth and still believes God, that God is still on the throne and God is still moving mountains by His grace and by His Spirit. I was alarmed to find out right here in Round Rock, Texas yesterday, there was a white van going around not far from our neighborhood trying to find little children by themselves and lure them into the vans, probably for human trafficking, right here in Round Rock, Austin, Texas. We're realizing evil around us in the natural realm is increasing more and more. That's why I would be very, very irresponsible as a pastor to not tell you folks, the Bible means what it says when it says, be vigilant, be awake. Your adversary, the devil, goes around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. The good news is the armor of God upon us, the shield of faith around us, the Bible says, quenches every fiery dart of Satan every single time. Amen? And so if we are a people that are going to be vigilant and watchful and praying, we're going to find ourselves sometimes giving into the circumstances around us in a lost and dying world where sin's around us in rampant ways. Romans chapter 8, verse 26 through 28, familiar part of the Bible as well. We're going to talk about this morning. It says, likewise, the Spirit also helps us in our weaknesses. For we do not know what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit Himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now He who searches the hearts knows the mind of the Spirit is because He makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know also that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to the purposes of God. It's important for us to see the connection between the will of God and also in prayer, because those things have got a holy, divine connection that I want to drive home this morning, and I want to impart to this local church today. We are an interceding group. We're folks that believe in prayer, and I believe that prayer will cause the will of God to be accomplished upon the face of the earth as well on an ongoing basis. We're talking this morning here about prayer, the power of prayer, and how prayer affects things upon the face of the earth. And again, there's three wills in the Bible on the earth. I want to drive home and talk about also this morning in this message. James chapter 4, verses 7 and 8, I think on the screen here as well, gives this. Talks about the three wills that are found on the earth. It says, first of all, therefore submit to God. Then resist the devil. He will flee from you. Then you draw near to God. He will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Notice here, first of all, it says, first of all, number one, God has a will. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. God's got a will. Number two, it says here, then resist the devil. That means the devil has a will. Satan's got a plan for your life. God's got a plan for your life. Satan's got a plan for your life. One's good and one's bad. Amen? Then it goes on and says, then draw near to God yourself. He will then draw near to you and cleanse your own hands and purify your own heart, you that are double-minded. That means you also have got a will in your life as well. I love this teaching that took place on Wednesday night by John Bevere. Those who were here, God bless you folks for being here for that. If you can, come back this Wednesday. If you haven't come back, been in the first 2 weeks, you've been missing some great nuggets of truth there. One thing that John Bevere drove home there that was very, very good, I thought, and very, very powerful, was the fact that the Bible tells us here in James, we have responsibilities ourselves to see cleansing take place ourselves, rejecting evil, drawing to those things that are good, and seeing our hearts being purified ourselves by obedience in doing what God calls us to do, to reject evil, to embrace good, to reject Satan's kingdom and the carnal world around us, and accept God's kingdom and God's workings upon the face of this earth. And so God is telling us also, it's up to us to get our own wills to line up with God's will there, to work together to bring forth what is holy, what is righteous, and what is best for this world and for us upon the face of this earth as well. John Bevere also gave two powerful words there on Wednesday night. I want to kind of also talk about those for a second. And those two words were justification and sanctification. He said there that when you're justified, of course, when you receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, you are instantly justified. All your sins are washed away, just as if you'd never sinned in your life before. Justification is that very thing. But sanctification is an ongoing verb in the Greek language. You are being sanctified on an ongoing basis. And so what that means is you cannot live by sloppy grace, what we call sloppy agape back in the old charismatic movement there. You can't live like the world all week long and try to be like God on Sunday mornings only. You must find yourself being set apart, sanctified from the culture of this carnal world, and then also set apart to God on a daily basis. Amen? That word holiness, sanctification, means I am set apart for a divine purpose. Because we are the temple of the Holy Spirit, that means our bodies don't belong to us anymore. Our bodies are bought by the blood of Jesus Christ. We are the temple of the Holy Spirit. We cannot just do what we want to do in our own flesh and minds any longer in our carnal way. We must say, Father God, I seek out your will, your desires, and may your desires become my desires. And as you possess my life, inhabit my life, I'm going to find that my desires line up automatically with the desires of Almighty God. I told the church here years back here, as your pastor, I drink all I want, I cuss all I want, I cheat around all I want, because all those want-tos have changed by the power of the Holy Spirit. I don't desire things like that in my life because God's Spirit possesses me, and His nature is being formed in me. And I find myself not battling old giants and old devils I battled years and years and decades ago, because God's Spirit possesses my life and lives in my life. Amen? So, moving on. The will of God the will of Satan and our will all interact in every problem, every situation we face in this life. Those three wills interact and play a part of every big decision, every situation you face, every problem. You're going to find those three wills. You're going to be right there with that. And let's choose today to hear what God's Spirit says to us by this message, and choose, let God's will be accomplished, not the devil's, not our own all the time, but may God's will be done by God's grace and God's Spirit. So we're going to give you guys now three take-home points, things you can write down in your notes also this morning. The first thing I want to talk about here, number one, is God has a will. God has a will. The will of God can be summed up in one word. That one word is good. Amen? God is good all the time. All the time, God is good. Anything good around us comes from the Lord our God. The Bible says God is good and His mercies endure forevermore. The Bible also says this in Psalms 23, surely goodness and mercies follow us every day of our lives. There's no badness in God whatsoever. When bad things take place in your life or in the world, that is not the author of God doing that. Amen? I'm tired of religious people. I'm tired of scientists. I'm tired of the world around us calling demonic things that take place on the earth acts of God, the will of God, and God working to bring forth judgment upon the face of the earth. God is only good all the time. Every bad thing around us does not come from the hands of Almighty God. You got to believe that. You got to understand that, because if you don't believe that, you're going to find yourself not trusting the God you serve. You can trust God because God is good all the time. Amen? He does not go around dreaming up bad things to do to us. Teach us lessons and make us more like He is. When God made the earth, Genesis chapter 1, it says all creation, when He made those 6 days of creation, He stood back and said what? It is good. God made animals good, fish good, wildlife, plant life, the stars, the heavens, the earth. Everything was good. And when sin came in the world, all things God made good became somehow corrupted. And we're seeing things right now in a corrupted nature. We're seeing things through a glass darkly. We don't realize the very nature of mankind, of animal life, of nature is not the way God made it 6,000 years ago, okay? And so that's why God gets a bad rap sometimes, and folks that are atheists, they say, if God is so good, why is there cancer? Why is there wars? Why is there famine? Why is there drought? And they do not realize God is so good that God is also righteous and God is also just. And God gives us all a free will, but also God gives us consequences from making bad decisions in life, okay? We're not robots. We're not made by God to serve Him. We're not made by force to serve Him. We have a free will. When we choose evil and choose bad, God shows us there will be bad consequences from bad decisions. Whatsoever a man sows, that will he also reap. And that's where atheists miss it. That's where scientists miss it. They don't realize there's a devil, there's demons, there's a righteous and just God who didn't raise robots, who said you guys have free wills to make good or bad decisions. When bad things happen, it's from bad decisions by people on the earth, okay? So, God is always moving in your behalf to take your will and move your will towards His will. There's your will in the middle. There's God's will on top. There's Satan's will at the bottom. But Satan also has a will and trying to always take your will and bring your will down into his will. How many folks know that Satan's a tempter? Satan is cunning. Satan is deceitful. And Satan knows ways to push your buttons to try and bring you down somehow, some way by your soul, your mind, your emotions. His line of attack always begins in your mind. That's why your mind must be renewed by the washing of the good word of God on a daily basis. Amen? So Psalm chapter 119, verse 1 and 10 says this. The wicked have laid a snare for me, yet I have not strayed from your precepts. Satan has got scandalons, he's got snares out there for you, traps laid for you. He's trying to trip you and trap you all he can in his life upon this earth. So number two, Satan also has a will. The Bible says when Job was attacked by Satan, he lost his crops, he lost his money, he lost his children, he lost his wife, he lost his barns, he lost his servant, he even lost his health. But Job tells us very plainly, whenever his own wife comes and says, curse God and die, he says, it says in the Bible, Job chapter 1, verse 22, in all of this, Job did not sin nor charge God with wrongdoing. That's what God wants set in your heart, that you might be resilient when bad things take place to good people. You don't find yourself blaming God or hating God. You find yourself getting mad at the devil where the bad thing has come from every time. In Job's life, it was not God doing this. The Bible says that Satan killed his servants, killed his children, brought the hurricane, brought the tornado, damaged his crops, took his money from him. It was all the devil doing that. It was not God putting one finger on him at all in his life. As a matter of fact, at the end of Job, God shows up and God pays him back double for his trouble. Amen? God restored everything back to him, even gave him two times more kids in heaven and on earth. At the end of that chapter, you read that yourself and see how God did show up because Job was resilient in the name of the Lord. The will of Satan is shown to us very plainly in Isaiah chapter 14. You might want to turn there yourself to Isaiah 14. We're going to take and read verses 12 through 14 about Lucifer. Satan, the Bible tells us, I believe in plain words also, was one of the archangels of heaven. The name Lucifer, before his fall, was changed as Satan. Lucifer means the enlightened one. It means the reflector of the light. The Bible says he had tabrets and pipes made inside of him on the day he was created. It says every precious stone was his covering. The Shekinah glory of God would shine down upon Lucifer, the choir angel of heaven, and reflect back off of him light and sound and color and praise and glory to Almighty God. I believe the demons under him were choir angel demons themselves who would sing praise and give glory to God themselves in the time before the fall. Lucifer's name, though, when he fell from heaven, was changed to Satan. And Satan means the accuser of the brethren. The fall of Satan is talked about in Isaiah chapter 14, verses 12 through 14 in plain English. And it says here, how you are fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning. That word son of the morning means reflector of the light, the morning star, the star of the dawn. How you are cut down to the ground, you who, notice this, you who weakened the nations. The first will of Satan and work of Satan is this. He's out here to weaken everything God establishes on the earth. He wants to weaken your marriage. He wants to weaken your prayer life. He wants to weaken your faith. He wants to weaken your church. He wants to weaken God's word. He wants to weaken all things he can weaken. He wants to weaken all he can. And he works not just on weekends. He works every day of the week. That was a pun there, if you didn't catch that. Now wake up. Daylight savings time's here. I'm going to throw some puns out here once in a while, okay? But he's out here to weaken all he can weaken. But what does God do? The Bible says time and again, God gives us strength. God strengthens, God encourages, God blesses, God adds to, God multiplies. But Satan comes to subtract and weaken and divide everything he can. Then he goes on and says, chapter 14, verse 12, these five things that Satan's will is. For you have said in your hearts, O Lucifer, number one, I will ascend into heaven. What's that mean? The Bible says that Satan presented himself before God in heaven to accuse Job. His name Satan means the accuser of the brethren. What that means is Satan ascends to heaven to try to find everything wrong with you and I as believers, to accuse us before God's face and try to bring legal things against us to kill and steal and destroy. That's why sin is so dangerous in your life. You have demons around you that watch every action, every word you say, and they want to accuse you before the Father in heaven of every evil thing you do, trying to find legal ground to bring you down. That's why the Bible says, Satan came to me, but he found no place in me. I pray when demons go to heaven about me, they have no room of accusation against me, because I pray, I say, Father, forgive me. I walk in light. I let no darkness inside of my heart or life. And I say, God, let there be a hedge around myself as well, like Job had also, that no weapon formed against me prospers in Jesus' name. So again, realize he goes there before heaven to accuse us. Number two, he goes on and says, I will exalt my throne above, notice this, the stars of God. What are the stars of God? Throughout the Bible, the word stars of God always means angels of God. Satan, what are angels used for in the Bible? Hebrews says, angels are spirits of fire sent as ministering agents upon the body of Christ to do God's bidding upon the face of the earth. So the stars of God are angels who are here to do ministries for people on the earth. Satan says, I will exalt myself above the angels, the ministering spirits of God. What does that mean? He takes and perverts healing. He perverts salvation. He perverts words of knowledge. He gives us psychics, false religions, Eastern religions, meditations, yoga, things that are total perversions of what God does in a real way. He exalts himself above the ministries and the stars and angels of God. Number three, he says this, I will sit on the mount of the congregation. That's you and I. What's that mean? He finds denominations, he finds churches, he finds congregations, and he tries to exalt himself above them and bring in splits and schisms and false doctrines and anger and bitterness and legalism and religion to replace God's life upon the congregations. That's why we resist the devil in these services here on religious things, legalistic things, false doctrine things, things of divisive things of anger, bitterness, or unforgiveness. May God be over the congregation to bring us unity and peace and life and joy evermore in Jesus' name. Amen. Number four, I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 2 says this, Satan is the prince of the power of the air. What Satan wants is to be over geographical areas like Austin, Texas, like Pflugerville, like America, like Texas, if he can do that. What God says is, I am the Lord of all the earth. The earth is the Lord's, the fullness thereof. But I want my people to not let the devil have any legal grounds upon geographical areas on the face of the earth. I will exalt myself above the clouds in the atmosphere around us. We had a whole lot of spiritual warfare done back in the 70s and 80s and 90s, where folks would sometimes climb skyscrapers, they would pray out of helicopters, and so forth and so on, to try to bind the powers of darkness of the air. I personally don't think those things are like that are necessary. I believe that God lives in us, and our prayers go right to God's ears, because the Bible says in James, the effectual fervent prayer of righteous people does avail much. What counts is a heart full of submission, full of faith, full of love, full of obedience. It says, God, anything is possible with you. Amen. Notice when Jesus Christ goes to the Gadarene demoniac who has the demon power prince over that region living in him, 2,000 devils at least living in him, you don't find Jesus getting into a hot air balloon and getting real high in the sky and binding the powers of darkness in the air. He says, what is your name? Where do you come from? And he drives him out by the power of Almighty God. There are demon powers that have been in Pflugerville's area before we got here. They think we're trespassing against them. They don't like giving up ground easily. That's why we praise God. That's why we worship God. That's why we serve God. That's why we come together in God's name. Where we are, Satan cannot be. Amen? Let God arise. Let his enemies be scattered. And I say in Pflugerville, Texas, this is not the devil's ground, not the devil's land. It belongs to Almighty God. And may our praise, our worship, and our lives mirror that, reflect that, and shout that out every day of our lives in Jesus' name. Number five, it says this, I will be like the Most High. We see the word Most High God used a whole lot back in Genesis, but also by the psalmist David. Psalm chapter 83, verse 18 on the screen here says this, that they may know that you, whose name alone is the Lord, are the Most High over all of the earth. So why does Satan say, I want to be like the Most High? Because he's saying himself, I want my name to be the name voiced over all the nations of the earth. His name is not, God's name is not Allah. God's name is not Buddha. God's name is not Muhammad. These names are trying to be named all over the face of the earth right now. The only name is the name of all names, the name of Jesus Christ himself. Almighty God, the Lord Jehovah, Jesus Christ, his Son. Those are the names above every name on the earth. Those are the names of God Most High. But Satan's desire is, I want to make my name like God's name. I want to exalt my name above his name. I want my name to be the only name named among all deities in the universe on the earth, somehow, some way. The good news is to us, the Bible says God laughs in heaven at the futile works of demons and devils, knowing he may accomplish some victories here and there, but the battle has already been won by the Lord. Amen? And I'm going to keep right on believing God, fighting with God, and seeing God win victories right in the midst of those folks that behead people and kill folks and martyr folks and so forth and so on. I'm going to say, God, you are God, and you are still working by the power of your might until Jesus Christ parts the heavens and the remnant go to heaven themselves. We find ourselves having a glorified body, live with you forever and evermore from that day forth. I'm going to keep right on praising and worshiping your name. The Bible says Satan's will is to kill and steal and destroy. We must see the bigger picture in spiritual ramifications happening in America today. That Satan's not just after legalization of marijuana, legalization of gay marriage. That's just a little bitty piece of the pie of what Satan wants. What Satan really wants is he wants legal ground in countries. He didn't just want Hindu temples and Buddhist temples to show that we're a free nation with freedom of speech. He wants to bring in demonic strongholds in nations to try and somehow kill and steal and destroy if he can do that. If you notice, the whole domino effect of America took place spiritually in a backwards way when they finally kicked prayer out of the schools of our nation. The first thing Satan did was what? He kicked prayer out of this government and out of our schools. He knows what prayer does. The first thing we should do is what? Bring prayer back in our lives, in our families, our churches, our homes. May prayer be here. Amen? What does it say to us in 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14? If my people called by my name humble themselves and pray. Not go to church, not to sing songs of worship, but pray and seek my face and not just my hand. Then I'll hear from heaven. And I'll heal their land, and I'll forgive their sins, and I'll be their God, and I will heal their land, says God, if my people will pray. I want to reverse the words Yonggi Cho said to Larry Lee 25, 30 years ago when Larry Lee was leading a prayer army across this country. Yonggi Cho told him on a golf course in Dallas, Texas, 20 years ago, he said, the problem American church has got, for they will not see revival, I don't think, in the future take place, like it's happened right here in South Korea, is the American people will not pray. He said, in South Korea, we pray by the tens of thousands in our prayer mountain, in our homes, our churches, and so forth. I'm praying to God that those words get reversed. We're going to find the American church will once again be on their knees in prayer, because the truth is, the great revivals of the early 1900s took place by praying Americans in Azusa Street, in Kansas, who prayed the price and prayed to God, and God moved in their behalf, and God shook the nations by his spirit by praying people of obedience years and years ago. Tree of Life Church, we are a praying church, a praying people, and God is moving by his spirit upon us as only God can do. Amen? So Satan's got a will. God's got a will. The last thing is, number three, we have a will. We have a will. A young boy was one time about 10 years old, 9 years old. He was in a theater with his dad, and he didn't want to behave himself that day. He decided to stand up on the chair to see the picture better and block the view of the folks behind him. His dad says, Johnny, sit down. The young boy put his hands on his chest, put his lip out. He was angry and mad. And he sat down in the chair and he looked over at his dad and said, I may be sitting down in physical realm, but inside of me, I'm standing up. That is called the will of man upon the earth. Amen. We might find ourselves sitting down sometimes in obedience and by force, but inside of us, are we still standing up in defiance of what is best for our lives? People confuse sometimes God's will with the human will. It was not God's will, for example, the Israelites would wander for 40 years in the wilderness. That journey was only about a 2 to 3 week journey in the natural realm. But because they would not humble themselves before God and get right before God and serve God, God let them wander around for 40 years in the wilderness by mercy, knowing they could not conquer the giants in their current condition. It would be suicide. So in mercy, God said, wander and wander and wander till you finally get like Moses and seek the face of the living God. And the sad fact was that generation all died out, and their children sought the face of God, went across the Jordan River, and conquered the land of Canaan. What God is saying to us is that was not what God's will was, but it was what man's will did in that era. It was also God's will to make Saul king of Israel. But the Bible says because Saul was full of arrogance and jealousy and pride and anger, he chased down David, he attacked David, he sought after witchcraft for counsel, and through all the things of his own will, he lost the kingship, lost his destiny, lost his inheritance. It is God's will for Jesus Christ also to do mighty works everywhere he was at on the face of the earth. The Bible says in his own hometown, he could not do any big miracles because of their unbelief. It was God's will to heal all the folks where he was at in Capernaum. But he only could do a few little colds and flus and allergies because of their lack of faith and their unbelief. Their own human will would not kick in. We can look also back at prayer and see how it also takes and brings forth and ties into all of these things of the will of God being accomplished on the face of the earth. Because again, these three wills are also here in what's called the Lord's Prayer. What's the Lord's Prayer say to us? Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, praise and worship. It says, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. So God's will is found first in the Lord's Prayer. Then it goes on and talks about your will. Forgive us of our trespasses as we choose to forgive those who trespass against us. We must choose to do that. That's our will involved. Then it comes Satan's will. But, O God, lead us not into temptation, but be delivering us from the powers and the will and desires of darkness around us. The three wills are found right there in the Lord's Prayer, but they're tied into prayer. Those three wills are always tied to prayer in our lives. You see that? So we see all these that are here, and let's look now at Romans chapter 8 verse 26 once again. It says here, I want to read it one more time to you folks. Likewise, the Spirit also helps us in our weaknesses, for we do not know what we should pray as we ought to. But the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. I want you to be prepared to write down one sentence right now. Write this one sentence down in a moment. Because the Bible teaches us we don't know how to pray as we ought. Here's what prayer does. Write this down. Prayer is when I connect my will to God's will, and together we defeat Satan's will. Prayer is when I connect my will with God's will, and together we defeat Satan's will. You get that? I want to write that down if you could, please. Read that sometime this week, because that's what prayer does. Prayer connects your will, God's will. You come together and defeat Satan's will every time in prayer. Amen? So, notice also it says here in Romans chapter 8, verse 26, likewise it says the Spirit helps us in our weaknesses. This word helps means to take hold of together and against. It's a very, very rich Greek word. Take hold of together and against. It's not like two men get a hold of a log, one gets one end, one gets the other end only. It's where two men get a hold of a battering ram. One gets one end, one the other end, then they take and go against a gate and tear that gate down in Jesus' name. When it says God helps us, it means God takes the other end of our prayers, makes it a battering ram, and comes against the gates of hell that will not prevail against the church. Amen? So God helps us in our weaknesses. He gets the other end of the battering ram. He goes forward and he tears those gates down. And there's no gate God can't tear down. There is no gate. Even in World War II, God tore down gates of Nazi Germany by his own power and spirit. Even in Reagan's era, God tore down the Iron Curtain. There is no gate that God cannot tear down through prayer and obedience and faith with God's people. Amen. And I'm saying to you guys right now again, it's a sad fact that the majority of Austin, Texas is right now playing golf, frisbee, video games, sleeping, reading newspapers, or doing sports. Because there's no great revival right now in our city. This can change because there is no gate that God cannot break down by God's people with their wills, lining up with God's will, and a battering ram is formed to tear down the gates of the enemy in Jesus' name. Amen? The key thing is here, you don't know how God will do it. God knows how to do anything. What God is saying is, will my people humble themselves and pray and seek my face, and I will heal their land. Don't know how he'll do it. Don't know what he'll do, but God's shown himself that he will and can do it. Nothing's too hard for him. Amen? Moving on. This tells me that God won't help us unless we pray. And the challenge is to pray according to the will of God. That's the challenge. What is the will of God? You know, back in Wichita, Kansas, I told the congregation here about 5 or 6 years ago, we had a lady in our church in her mid-50s. She was kind of a little dumpy lady that was just an average-looking type person. And her husband, unfortunately, was at Cessna Aircraft, Beach Aircraft. And her husband fell off the wing of an airplane, cracked his head open, and he died from his injuries about a month or two later. Well, this lady now, in 1990s, the most sought-after bachelor in Christian circles was a man named Carmen, the singer. Carmen was in his 20s, early 30s, looked like Elvis Presley, sang like Elvis Presley, danced like Elvis Presley. He was a Christian Elvis Presley. This lady in our church told us as pastors in our office, God tells me in a dream, I'm going to marry Carmen. Now, I knew in 1 second that was not God. I mean, there's just some things you can just know real fast. That is not God. Because the fact is, Carmen said himself, the folks that know him, I get that 100 times a week. Ladies approach me and say, God told me I'm going to marry you. They can't all be right. Amen? There can't be 100 women a week that God's saying to them, you're going to marry Carmen. As far as I know, Carmen's still single. Could be that reason right there. I don't know. And so the lady that was there, I said, listen, woman, I'm not woman, I said, listen, whoever your name, whatever your name was, I don't talk like that. I don't talk like it to people. I'm thinking of my own brain here. I'm saying whatever's fast, okay? But I said, listen, precious woman of God, precious lady of all heaven and glory, near to Mary, so forth, so on. I said, we need to pray about this ourselves because, you know, I really think it's very, very unlikely that God is probably saying something like that to you. This man is, as far as I know, not looking for a wife right now, not looking to get married right now. You don't even know the guy. He doesn't even know you. You don't know each other. I just don't see that taking place anytime soon, but we'll pray about this. And the sad fact was she became so delusional by this, she finally just left the church, and she got a prophetess that agreed with her, which is very, very too bad on that whole deal there. And the years have gone by, and so far, not married to Carmen yet. What I'm trying to say to you guys is this. We need to find out the will of God when we pray. Because James tells us, you have not because you ask not. Then it goes on and says, and because you ask amiss to consume it on your lusts. Remember what John Bevere, that was here, you could also hear on Wednesday night, what he said when he was praying for 2 years. Oh, God, use me. God, use me to win souls, to heal bodies, to cast out devils. God, use me, use me. And God told him one day, and 2 years later, he said, you are praying amiss. You are not praying on target. You're praying, God, use me. I want you to be drawing near to me, become like me. Let me fill you up. let you become like I am. I want to inhabit you, not just use you. Amen. He talked about his own wife and gave a very, very funny story about his wife as well there. You might want to hear that yourself sometime. But he said, we don't use our wives. We hopefully co-inhabit with them as partners and become one flesh with them in the spiritual realm. We don't just use our wives. We actually have a relationship with our wives, and we actually love our wives and are with our wives and inhabit with our wives in that way. Okay, so moving on beyond that, what I'm saying here, the Spirit knows the will of God. The Spirit knows the will of God. And He's ready to line up our will with God's will and God's circumstances to bring answers and breakthroughs to our lives. The Bible does not say all things are good. The Bible says all things work together for the good. Those who are the called of God according to God's purposes. Look at the Apostle Paul. Was it good that Paul was a Pharisee of Pharisees? Legalistic, religious, hateful, angry, killing Christians. Was that good? No. That was not God's will for Paul's life. But what did take place was Paul got converted by the power of the Holy Spirit and became a new man, and then God used his Phariseeism, his legalism, knowledge of the Bible, his zeal, his work ethic. He used all the things of the past for the good to write half the New Testament. As time went by, Paul saw many folks delivered, set free, transformed, wrote Bible, wrote chapters, wrote verses. So God took the bad and somehow turned it for the good. Amen? Was it good that Joseph was sold in slavery? That he also became betrayed by Potiphar's wife, thrown in prison by the Pharaoh of Egypt for who knows how many years? Was that good? No, it's not. That's not God's best for Joseph's life. But the Bible says when Joseph came out of prison and became second in command over all of Egypt, and all of his sons or brothers came to him and bowed down to him and begged for their lives, what did Joseph say to his brothers? What you meant for evil, God turned for the good. Amen? And what about Adam? Was it good that Adam ate the apple and sinned in the Garden of Eden 6,000 years ago? And brought forth cancer and thorns and droughts and hurricanes and tornadoes and disease and sickness. Was that good? No, that was not good. But what took place because Adam sinned was, the Bible says, man was made a little lower than the angels. Then it goes on and says, now though, you that are new creatures in Christ Jesus are going to one day judge the angels. You will one day be like the angels. You will now rule and reign with me forevermore in a glorified body far above Adam's body forever and ever and evermore. Do you see how God took what was bad and turned it for the good? We will one day be above angels, like the angels, judging angels because Adam sinned in the Garden of Eden. So no, it was not good Adam sinned. Adam would be alive right now today in his own Adam body. Because he sinned, we receive a glorified body and live with him forever and evermore and see him as he is. All of creation ruling and reigning with him forevermore. As James comes back to the platform now to help me out, please, James. I'm going to pray here in a moment. And I'm going to say to you two guys today in closing, that's what God does with every mess in your life. He takes all the bad of your past, your parenting, your mistakes, your shortcomings, and takes it all together like a big old recipe and brings out some kind of a good cake with it that only God can do. Amen? Every mess you give God, God will use that for your good somehow, some way in your life. As James plays here, I'm going to tell you this morning here as our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed this morning for a moment. This message this morning here about the three wheels. You got to realize that you are the key component of those three wheels. You're like the hinge, the middle piece of a teeter-totter that goes up and goes down, and there's a middle hinge that joins the two together. Your will determines, will Satan's will be done or will God's will be done? Whose will be done is your choice. Because God's gentleman, because God's fair, God's just, and God's not raising robots, God is saying, I set before you this day life and death, choose life. Right now, you folks that are here are probably all born-again believers in Jesus Christ. Most of you folks here are Spirit-filled. And Romans says, with groanings cannot be uttered, we can pray in the Spirit and pray God's will in a new tongue, a new language. What God is also saying today to us is, that is not just for you alone. There's death around us in Pflugerville. There's death around us in Austin, Maynard and Taylor, Hutto, Georgetown, Gerald. All the surrounding areas have got death in them. People are roaming our streets in vans trying to steal our children off the streets for human trafficking. There's death all around us. But God's word tells us, you are ministering death to death and life to life by the power of the Holy Spirit, by the fragrance of Jesus Christ. So Father God, this day as our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed this morning, I'm praying, oh God, help us be those who know what it means to minister death to death, life to life, to bind and to loose, to be prayer warriors, oh God, in greater measure. And I praise you, God, this day. We're going to catch this, not just hear this today, in Jesus' name. Again, while your heads are bowed and your eyes are closed this morning, I'm going to ask, how many folks today will agree with me to take authority over the will of Satan over your life today? How many here also would admit, by raising your hand in a moment, that you're already under attack right now, and you want that attack turned around of the enemy? How many would raise your hand and say that? You're under attack right now, and you want to see that attack turned around in Jesus' name. Hands everywhere so far. Praise God. Praise God. Let's all stand to our feet now, please. Let's all stand up. We're going to believe God here together that He's going to help us in our weaknesses. And those whose hands are raised up, just stay where you're at right now today. We're going to pray for all the folks in our congregation together. What God is saying to us is, I will take the other end of your battering ram. I will pick it up and I will move it forward by the power of my word and my spirit. And I will batter down every gate of the enemy in the way only I can do. The truth is, this morning, we cannot defeat the gay agenda. We cannot defeat drug addictions and drug trafficking. They found over $3 million of meth going through our city just last week. We cannot defeat the abortion demon and devil. We cannot defeat all the things around us of divorce and abuse and murders and crime. Not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. Our fight is not against flesh and blood, against principalities and powers and rulers of darkness in high places. I'm praying today right now, those whose hands are raised up today especially. Let's believe God right now today. The powers of darkness are broken, and the powers of darkness will not prevail over the church, over our lives any longer in the name of Jesus. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you and praise you that you, O God, are Lord of my life. That you, O God, rule over every part of my family, of my job, my neighborhood, my home, my mind, my mouth, my heart. And I declare, O God, this day that my body belongs to you, Lord. It is a temple of the Holy Spirit. And I serve you, notice, devil. And I say to you, get your hands off of my health, off my body, off my children, off of my heart, off my mind, off of my finances, off my job, off my co-workers. I bind your works, I bind your desires in the name of Jesus. And Father God, I praise you and bless you, God, this day, that you are giving us, Lord, freedom to pray. Freedom, God, to worship. Freedom, O God, to be a servant of the Lord. In the name of Jesus, we praise you and bless you, O God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I want to say in closing here today that we are resilient. We are resilient when we call upon the name of the Lord. And He lets us bend in the winds and storms around us, but snap right back. Stronger than ever in Jesus' name. We've got coconut seeds on us that may get shook loose. They will only impact the nations more in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Let's just give God right now a hand and clap of praise and worship and thank Him. He is God. He is Lord. He is King over all. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, God. Praise you, Father. Thank you, oh God. I'm going to have Linda Bertram go ahead and, if you would, and get the microphone here. Linda Bertram can dismiss us in prayer in a moment. We're going to let her testify next week about what God has done to bring a turnaround to her life. I really sense this week here, this message is not just one to clock in and clock out for church. Take this message home with you and put it into practice. I'm going to encourage you guys, you find time to pray for your neighbors, find time to pray for your coworkers, find time to pray for your families. Your prayers are effective and they're effectual and they will avail much in Jesus' name.